It's similar in that to a nazir, in that the nazir also at the end of his mitzvah period shaves his head.
Like the mitzvah?
There are different processes, but in each case, the nazir shaves his hair off, and the mitzvah shaves his hair off.
Okay.
So I know they were talking to Moshe and Karad, they said they shaved their hair. So what's the inference from that is that Tobi made to Moshe, Nahi, that in the time of their Tumah, they would, in fact, follow the rules of Torah. Because they said only when they're undergoing their purification process that the Mishnah says that they then shave their hair. But while they're not yet undergoing the purification process, in that instance, it would seem that they do not shave their head. So you ask the question, may they take a haircut, may they relax the prohibition that attend to a mitzvah on Yom Tov? And the answer would seem from our Mishnah that we do not relax it.
Right, but that's not because of Yom Tov, that's not because they're still tummy.
Right, but the question is, we said that the Asa Asad the Rabbi and Medreshel Asad the Yachid. So the question is, over here, should the Asa of
Yachid, the Chagiasa,
be Medreshel,
pushing away the Yachid?
So it would seem from our mission that the answer in this case is no. So the Gemara says, no, you can't bring a proof from there. Why do you buy a Gemara? Because perhaps our mission is simply saying, perhaps our mission is saying a chiddush that even in the case of purification, that the Mishnah may be just saying that I would have thought that just like you're not allowed to take a haircut during the The Mishnah is saying that I would have thought that just from here on you might say that the Mishnah is saying that really you are allowed to take a haircut during Holomoy. You can take a haircut, Holomoy and Mitzvah can take a haircut, Holomoy, everything is relaxed. Right? So he can go into the Nazir if he finishes the main Israel, he can take a haircut if he was the King Tomei and now he has to shave his head, he can shave his head on Holomoy. So let me voice call Marsha. I would have thought that maybe what the Mishnah is saying is that you are allowed to take the haircut. And I would have thought that in the purification process that you're not allowed to take the haircut. Why? Because Nigzer Shem Yasha Karbonito. I would have thought that maybe he is going to delay bringing this carbonate until the last day of Yom Tov, Mashmalon, so therefore it says that no, he can engage in the process. So here's in short what the Gemara is saying. You wanted to bring a proof that you're not allowed to take a haircut during the Chuma period of Tzaraas. And you wanted to bring it a proof from our Mishnah by implication, from an inference from our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says that when you're undergoing the purification process, then you can take your haircut, which suggests, we said, that when you're not undergoing the purification process, you may not take your haircut. So the Gemara says you can't bring a proof from our Mishnah, because what our Mishnah may be saying is that really you are allowed to take a haircut. I would have thought, though, that that a Metzori is allowed to take a haircut during his Tumah period. And the Mishnah is telling us that even during the period when he's undergoing purification, he can take a haircut. Because I would have thought that perhaps you're not allowed to take a haircut during the purification process specifically, because when he's undergoing the purification process, at the end of that process, you have to bring carbonate. And if we allow him to begin this purification process on Chol HaMoed or during Chol HaMoed, it may result that he will have to bring his karba on the last day of Yom Tov.
What's the problem with that?
You know, you're not allowed to bring karbanis yachid on a Yom Tov. You can only bring karbanis tzibur. So he's going to bring the carbon on the and he's not allowed to bring the carbon on that day. So I would have thought that we would say a kseira that so it's not to come to avoid coming to bring a carbon yachid on Yom Tov. We should prohibit the person who is in the purification process from taking a haircut, and that will delay the process until after Yom Tov. But no one is suggesting. Not the Mishnah is not suggesting that during the Tumah process that you can't take a haircut on Chol HaMoed if you're a Metzora. So we have no proof one way or the other. The Gemara just leaves it so far unresolved. We tried to bring a proof from our Mishnah. The Gemara rejects the proof, saying
we have no proof because, number one, the Mishnah does not forbid a non-purified to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed.
Right, well, we thought that you can learn from by inference that it's prohibiting it. So we say, no, you can't. It's the Mishnah is not by inference doing it, because it may be that the Mishnah is simply saying that the only time that I would have thought that you prohibited from taking a haircut is during the purification process, and that's because it might result in bringing a carbon yachid on Yom Tov. But during the Tumah period, when there is no such concern, then the Mishnah would suggest that you are allowed to take a haircut. So the Mishnah, you can learn the Mishnah one way, you can learn the Mishnah the other way. You can learn the Mishnah that the Mishnah is learning by inference that it's prohibited, or you could say, no, the Mishnah is talking about some other problem, the problem being about bringing their carbon yachid on Yom Tov, and then that wouldn't apply to the case of someone who's purely in the Tumah period. So we don't have an answer one way to resolve this question one way or the other. We don't have enough information.
What about the Nazir?
So one second. So, like the boys, we made so much of the way we have a little Tarasa and the Nazir, so I would say that we should be geyser by the pit purification process, Shemi Yashu Karbonaser, because maybe they'll wait until the last day of Yom Tishrei Atzeres or Shvi Shal Pesach to bring its carbon, Tamashu Alon. Therefore, it teaches us that you don't have that concern and don't have that decree. But the Mishnah is not at all referring to the question of what happens during the Tumah period, whether you're allowed to take care of it. Amar Rava. So now Rava is going to try to resolve the question from of Raisa. So Amar Rava Tashma, coming here from a Raisa. So it says in the Torah that Hatzaru Asher by Nega, the God of Yifurunim, Bereshi Yifurua. So it says that Tzarua, somebody who has Tzara, who has an.
What do you use the name Tzarua instead of Metzara here?
Hatzarua means the one who has tzaras. Metzara is another way of just saying Metzara, the one in whom is tzaras. No, Hatzarua is the one who has tzaras. Asher boy hanega, who has on him or on him the nega, this blemish on his clothing. Asher boy hanega, who has this blemish, the God of Yifurim, his clothing should be torn. And his hair should grow long. So now, the pasuk before says tzarua, and now it says again tzarua. We already know who the subject of the pasuk is. The subject of the pasuk is tzarua. So why doesn't it again say Tzarua. And then the following pasuk, again it says Tzarua. So why do we need to have this word Tzarua in this pasuk? So the Gemara says, HaTzarua, the identification of the subject of the pasuk, again in this pasuk, well, the rabbi's Kohen Gadol, it comes to include a Kohen Gadol, that even a Kohen Gadol who had Tzara has to grow his hair and tear his clothing. Now, that's a special limud because a Kohen Gadol generally never allows his hair to grow. Even when he's an Avil, he doesn't, in Avilus, he doesn't allow his hair to grow. He's unlike all others, the Kohen Gadol does not engage in mourning.
Disrespectful for his function?
For his function. That's the Torah. It's possible the Torah. But nevertheless, if he becomes a Tzarua, so the Kohen Gadol does engage in the practice of growing his hair, not taking the hair.
Then he has to be responsible for what he did that caused it to get slashed.
I suppose. Well, so now the Gemara says, so what do we see from here? That when a Kohen Gadol has Tzaraat, he has to allow his hair to grow. Well, a Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen Gadol during the entire year is like an ordinary person on Yom Tov, because a Kohen Gadol the whole year is like Yom Tov, in one way. That the whole year, we say that a person who has a close relative who died has to sit shiva, right? But on regel, on the Yom Tov, he doesn't sit shiva. Kohen Gadol, like Yom Tov, never sits shiva. So for him, the whole year is like a Yom Tov in that sense.
So what does he do when he has a mess?
He continues on as is. We find in the story of Aaron when Nadav and Abihu died, then Hashem told him, carry on. The Kohen Gadol, who for him the whole year is like Yom Tov, this man, as we learned in the Mishnah, and Hurriyas, Kohen Gadol Makfir, a Kohen Gadol, for whom Rahman of Islam, he had a close relative who died, Makfir, he brings Karbonet Oinan while he's still in Oinan. Even on the day of the death,
but he doesn't eat.
Because we find like Aaron, there was a dispute between Moshe and Aaron. Moshe Doresh, Doresh, Moshe came and he saw that the carbons were not eaten. And he came to Aaron and to Elazar in the summer and he asked why they didn't eat the carbons. And Aaron spoke up and Aaron said, don't blame them, it has to do with me. I said that you don't eat the karbanes because it's not befitting that a adult should eat a oimen, it's not the sin, so I should eat the karbanes. So even though we have to bring the karbanes, it's not fitting that we should eat the karbanes. That was his own drasha. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't actually at first agree with him, but then Darish said, Moshe, after the whole drasha, Moshe actually agreed with Aaron, and now the halacha is that a kohen is makriv ve'enei eichel. He brings the carbon, but he doesn't actually. The halacha follows Aaron and not Moshe.
Kohen Gadol, that is.
The kohen Gadol.
Not a kohen Yachid.
The kohen Gadol, who has a avilus, he doesn't go out of the Beis HaMikdash, when HaMikdash lo yeh, he continues bringing the carbon, right? And the carbon that he brings, he doesn't eat of that day.
Yeah, we can't change for the Kohen Gadol, but we can change for the Kohen
Yachid. Kohen Yachid has different roles altogether about Avilah. So there it says, the Sheirah, part of Avilah, of Yitzhak, so they show that to be close relative, he does become Tamei. Kohen Gadol doesn't become Tamei, he is close relative. But anyway, Shmami enough, from here we can read and approve that Noyik Sarati Gambarekel, that even an ordinary person who has Sarat, has to keep the minig of Tzaraat on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, because the Kohen Gadol has to keep it the whole year. And the Kohen Gadol the whole year is like an ordinary person on Yom Tov. So just like the Kohen Gadol who has the minig of Yom Tov has to keep Tzaraat, so too the ordinary person has to keep Tzaraat on Yom Tov. Okay, now the question is, Avil, also, so now, Avil also be disfavored. We say Avil is not allowed to take a haircut. How do we know that if Adam was not allowed to take it here? From this that we find that the parents said to the children of Aaron,
that's outside Moed we're talking about here.
Right, so now we're talking about, we're going to go through everything, we're going to go through what's the din, we're going to go through every, we're going to go down the line now. We're talking about other, we're talking about a material,
are we talking during Moed?
No, other period, other. Now, we're going to go through a whole list of different things of what's permitted for Avel, what's permitted for a Menudah, what's permitted for a Mitzvah, So now we're going to say, Avel is prohibited from taking the haircut, the Holy Year, and the Kamala Rahman, the Bnei Aaron, since Terry told the children of Aaron, or Sheikh Amal Kipro, that you shouldn't allow your hair to grow. Equal, from here we learn by inference, the implication is that Huli Alma Author, that everyone else is prohibited from shearing their hair. So Aaron's children got a special dispensation. During their Avelas, Hashem said, don't let your hair grow. And in fact, it's forbidden to let your hair grow. Why would the Torah have to tell them that it's forbidden for them to have their hair to grow their hair, unless that would be the meaning of Avel? So now, Menudim and Tzayden, Mahim B'Tisrei. So what's the rule, now at the top of the page, Menudim and Tzayden, Mahim B'Tisrei. What would be the rule for a Menudim, somebody who's excommunicated, or a Tzayden? Can they take your haircut? Shema, we learned, someone who's excommunicated, someone who has a tzaraas, a certain mitzaper, they're not allowed to take a haircut, lechabes, or to wash their clothes. Menuda, shemeis, fest, and seikli, nesadeinik. Now, just this is an incidental part of what we're learning, in the right, that Menudah Shemei, somebody who was excommunicated, who died for a serious excommunication, the best in safe in the Tzareinik. The best in constant stone is his coffin. We don't mean in the usual sense of stoning that, like by Achan, that they piled up his coffin with stones on top. But rather, we're talking about that Ezdin sends a shliach and who put a large stone on top of the Aron. So, what was the story with Achan? You know the story with Achan. Achan. I'm sorry.
Maori, he was given two death penalty.
Yeah. So Achan stole by Yericha. He stole from the Biza. So now going back to what's the reason why they sent the arm? Well, just to show that it's a sign of disrespect. He disrespected the Chacham.
The fact that he passed away.
That he allowed himself to go with the remainder of his life in Israel. Without releasing it.
Yeah, you don't fix things. You don't say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Do whatever you need.
That's funny. He didn't make a mistake. He passed away.
No,
he wasn't
it would be
what kind of mistake?
The mistake of not seeking release from his misery. Misery is something which someone who is a menudah, who is an excommunication, engaged in one way
secretly.
He engaged in wrongful activity. To have whatever it was that got him into the hot water in the first place is what he should have done to get out of the hot water afterwards. But he didn't. So,
That's what you mean.
Avel chayev batifa toresh. Avel is chayev, and Avel is chayev batifa toresh. He has to cover his head. Mitkamer le'rachmana, the terror, Hashem said to Yechezkel, that when his wife died, Hashem said to him, "Loisata al-Safam," that you shouldn't cover your head with a shawl until your mouth, over your lips. Meanwhile, from here we learn by inference that if Hashem is telling Yechezkel not to cover his face with a shawl until his lips, that the ordinary person should do that. Now, we don't do that today. For various reasons, we no longer have that clinic. So now we said that a other we know from a pasuk has to cover his head. But a menuda, someone with an excommunication, is he like an other in this regard, and does he have to cover his head? However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tashma, coming here from a braisa that says about the third period of the fasting periods when there's the child. So the Heinathakim, the Yoshin, that the people sit, they cover their heads, and then they sit like Kemenuda Uchavim, like people who are in excommunication, like in Ovel. Achirachmu Aleim in Hashemayim, until they have mercy, until Hashem has mercy from heaven, then defend the rain. So Amar Leah, so anyway, what do we see from here? That it would seem that what? That you have to, that they sit with a people parish like Avel or like a Menuda. So what do we see? That a Menuda and a Avel, it would seem, cover their head. As we're saying, during the fast, they sit like a Menuda and like an Avel with covered head. So if they sit like that with covered heads because they want to be like an Avel and like a Menuda, then it would seem that an Avel and a Menuda cover their heads. No, an Avel covers his head because we have a pasuk, but a Menuda would seem also. Amar Lei Abaye said, no, maybe over there it's talking about a Menuda l'shamayim. Don't a Menuda l'shamayim shana d'cham. Perhaps a Menuda l'shamayim, someone who shamayim, where Hashem himself puts the people into nidui, in text communication, when Hashem doesn't send rain for a long period of time, that's a suggestion that Hashem is not communicating with the people. He's not listening to that service, and he's not answering that service. He's not communicating. Like, so when Hashem puts someone in excommunication, then that's a more severe form, and therefore such a person, like during this fast period, has to cover his head, because that's the type of nidui we're talking about, like a menuda l'shamayim. But an ordinary menuda, who says, has to cover his head. So you can't bring the proof from here that an ordinary menuda, a menuda from Bethlehem, has to cover his face. Maybe only somebody who's a menuda in the shrine.
Isn't that the case of a Bethlehem menuda?
That's why the Bethlehem? No. Bethlehem is, at the end of the day, even though we say that it's Elikim, that they sit in the presence of Hashem, and that's why it's called Elikim, the bottom line is that it's humans who are imposing the nidri. When we're talking, and even though they're doing it in the shlichus of Hashem, but Hashem himself is engaging in the nidri, then it's a more severe. The Gemara is going to question this later on. But anyway,
I don't know, it's a nidri me Hashemayim.
Hashem's the one who's not sending the rain.
That's right, Tibur, it's not Yachid.
When Hashem is not sending rain for a long period of time, so the tzibur is in nidui. It's from Hashem. Hashem is saying, I'm not listening to your prayer.
It's in nidui.
That's what the Gemara is saying, that's a form of nidui, that Hashem is not communicating with. You're talking to Hashem, you're dying to Hashem, and Hashem is not answering. So he's not listening to you, and he's not talking to you. But that's, in a sense, a form of nidui. So they sit like they need to, like Hashem put them in the next communication. So So now we're going to ask a question about the menuda. We don't have an answer. But how about Mitzera? Maybe we can figure out whether a Mitzera has to sit up these situations. The Gemara says, come in here. Tashma, come in here from. The pasuk it says, "Vatzurah tzaruah asher boi hanega." The tzaruah who had a nega, he should engage in a whole series of things. I'll talk on the yasin, and he should cover over his head until this is the pasuk. Now, Chasis and the Mefarshim will ask, "Why is we're asking a question from that we know the answer from a pasuk?" So, the simple answer that we're just going to give, the simplest answer is. The Gemara is not going through a laundry list. It's going down the list. So if that's it, now we're going to say about covering the head. So how about material and we're going to go through the whole list. And so the fact that on one or two of those questions, the answer is going to be obvious or self-evident doesn't prevent the Gemara from engaging in the structure of the question. So we're going down the list, and so we're just going down the list. So crossing off the items off the list. We have explicit pasuk tells us that he has a shema. We know that he is approved from the pasuk. Avil is prohibited from putting on tefillin. How do we know that Avil is prohibited from putting on tefillin? It's Tamar Le'Rachmana. And Herod said, Yecheskel, again, the same thing, when his wife died, he said, Pe'er Koch HaVeshol L'Hashem said, you should wear your Pe'er. And Pe'er means your glory. So we say Pe'er means tefillin. And in fact, the pasuk, this is translating it, this bracha, and so pe'er, we say, is tefillin. Baruch Hashem, Eternal Melech HaOlam, Eitei Yisrael B'Sifara. You say when a person stands up, and you're looking at Gemara, you're looking at the Shulchan Aruch, today we say the Berachas HaShachar just one after the other. Very easy, yes? But in the time of the Gemara, they would say it when they were mechuyev in the thing. At the moment that they became mechuyev, that's when they would say the bracha. So what's the bracha? Basically, it's all the Sifara, that Hashem crowned Yisrael with glory. So when do you say that bracha? You say that bracha when you put on your hat, when you put on your ring, cover your hair. So, but here we're saying te'er is tefillin. So, it may actually be, we're going to have here on my flikas of what's going on.
Say what?
Huh? No, you say for the bracha of tefillin. You say, Baruch HaShem, Kerem Elech HaLam, Shaykh Bisham, Tzvano, Laniach Tzvillin. They have to use all the Tzvara when you put on tefillin.
No, but this is the Tzvara. You said once when you put your hat on and then afterwards again.
No, you say the bracha once every day. Other lots of Laniach Tzvillin, and Kerem Elech HaLam, Lichas, Kalpa Erech HaChaveh Shalecha. That you should put on your te'er, miklal, the kolam matzah. From here we see that everyone is prohibited from putting on tefillin, because Hashem had to tell Yecheskel to put on tefillin. Why would he tell him? He didn't tell him yesterday to put on tefillin. He's not going to tell him tomorrow to put on tefillin. He tells him today to put on tefillin. Why should he tell him today to put on tefillin? Because everyone else in that situation would not put on tefillin. So Hashem was telling him, you are an exception to the rule. Anyway, so we see that an Ovil on the first day, he does not put on tefillin. The menuta mahu b'tzol. So how about a menuta? Somebody's next communication. Does he put on tefillin? The Gemara says, Teku, we leave the question unresolved. We don't have an answer for it. And place can say that generally in these Tekus that we're going to list, the next Amid or so, the where we say Teku, we leave it, we rule leniently. And so in this case, he would put on tefillin. Mitzera mahu b'tzillin. How about a mitzera? Is a mitzera allowed to put on tefillin? The Gemara says, Tashma, come in here. Proof from a b'raisa. That it says in the pasuk, Tzeruah, Sherebaya, Negev, B'gazav, Yir, Vereisha, Yir, Feruah. That the Tzeruah, we've said this pasuk a few times, that the Tzeruah, in whom it has the Nega, so his clothes should be torn, and his hair should be allowed to grow long. So Bahas Tzeruah, we said that the word Tzeruah is extra because the pasuk before already identified the subject of the pasuk, and the next pasuk again says Tzeruah. So here we don't need to identify that we're talking about the Tzeruah. So Baal Arabis Kohen Gadol, we said that it comes to include the Kohen Gadol, that even the Kohen Gadol has to keep the laws of Tzeruah, even though for him again it's always Yom Tov. So the laws of Yerubim, and his clothes should be torn, Shiyum Mikaroim, they should be Purim. The word for prumim is not an easily translated word. The word tells us, if you want to know what it means clothes should be torn. And the word farua, again, is not an obvious word. It's an unusual word form. So the Gemara says, aim free and leave it all time. That means he should grow his hair. These are the words of Rebbe Elazar. Bekiva Aymer, Rebbe Kiva says, Nemra Haboya Bereish. It says, Bereisha Yihye Farua. His head should be overgrown with hair. And Nemra Lashon Haboya Bereish Amitzer. It says about his clothing that they should be torn. It says, because of Yihyu Farua. So Yihye and Yihyu are the same word. And from the similarity of these two words, we learn that Ma Avoya Amur Bedu Beged Dover, just like when we're talking about clothing, we're talking about something that is not intrinsic to the person. The person does, his clothing is not part of the person himself. They're external to the person. So also, when we're talking about the Reisha Yiyah Parua, he disagrees with the Tanakh and says that Reisha Yiyah Parua means that he should allow his hair to grow long. Rabbi Akiva says that Reisha Yiyah Parua means something external to his body. His hair is not external, it's connected. So something that is outside of his head, my love. So what's outside of the person that we would say that should be prohibited? I would imagine that we're talking about tefillin. So we have here an opinion from Rabbi Akiva that you would wear tefillin. So we would have a machlekes of Tanayim. The Tanakhama says that he would wear tefillin because we learn out from Reisha Yiyah Parua that his hair should be allowed to grow long. Although hair should be allowed to grow long. And Rabbi Akiva says it's tefillin. The Gemara says, no, Rabbi Akiva doesn't mean when he says external that he means tefillin. I'm going to pop a reserve on the blood. I couldn't throw this to a drug. What he's talking about is his hat or a turban that the Matera shouldn't wear a hat or a turban. Now, we said earlier that the Matera earlier in the Gemara should keep his head covered with the shawl all the way to his lips. So there's two opinions over here, whether the Gemara seems to suggest that maybe the Gemara over here is arguing with the Gemara earlier, and that the Gemara, where it says earlier that the material, when it says that he should cover up till his lips. That he should cover over till his hips. So those words again are unusual words for him. The yata means to cover over. But sofam, we're not sure what does it mean. Does it mean to cover over to his lips, or does it mean that he should keep his mouth closed? And we learn later on that maybe it means he should keep his mouth closed, and it doesn't mean to cover over. So clearly the Gemara here is disagreeing with the Gemara earlier about whether a material covers his head. But the simpler explanation is that the Gemara here is not arguing this before, and that what the Gemara is saying here is that a material should cover his head with a shawl, with an ordinary shawl, and cover it from his mouth, and that's a sign of sadness, of being a Kabbalist of Din, that he's a Tzeruah, but wearing a turban or in a fancy hat, you say a bracha, everything is all the Tzipara, that's Pe'er, that's glorious, and so that's inconsistent with his Tzeruah status. So it means that he shouldn't wear a fancy hat or a turban, he should rather wear a shawl over his face. So we don't have an answer to the question of whether Sargoa should wear tefillin or not. So we thought maybe we can say that Rabbi Akiva would say that he doesn't wear tefillin, but we can't even say that Rabbi Akiva would say that he doesn't wear tefillin. Now, so we left it unresolved. So now, we learn from Yechezkel that Avol is also b'shir l'shalom. Avol is prohibited from inquiring into the welfare of someone else, or to inquire into his welfare. You don't say hello to the Avol, you don't say hello to you, you don't say how are you. There's a dispute in the Pesachim whether just saying hello or good morning constitutes inquiring into somebody's welfare, because you're not actually asking him anything, you say good morning. Hello, good morning, without asking how are you, just simply making a statement. So, nevertheless, the Magen Avraham says in the Minhag is not to say hello, good morning, even though it's not a question.
Hello, if I'm eating, I've been in Farnai.
I'm sorry?
There might be a lot of Avraham in Farnai.
They don't say good morning, they don't say hello.
Never.
I will also be sure.
Very, very rarely.
Avel also gesila shalom. Avel is prohibited from inquiring into someone's welfare. Amar leira manu cheskel. If you find that Hashem told cheskel he onik doim, so you should remain silent. Being silent means don't fuck the people, don't engage in
virtues of shalom.
Huh?
Stay quiet.
Say doim means quiet. So we're saying, we're learning from here, doim from what? Quiet from what? Just prohibiting, in fact, making, imposing a type of stipper. We're saying, don't start socializing with it. Don't ask people how to do menuda. And now we know that although it's ushered to engage in shiva shalom, but menuda amount of shiva shalom. How about somebody's next communication? Can he inquire into somebody's welfare? Our Yisus, or Rav Yisus, Hashma, we learn the Shiva Shalom from Adam Chavede, even the Adam and the Zufim, the market. That during the fast, this last series of fasts, when there's a drought, they don't ask, they don't inquire into the welfare of their friends, like a person who is Nazif Lamakim, somebody who is excommunicated by Hashem. So again, the same thing when we say Amar Le'Abayis, Abayis said, for Rav Yisus, Yomar Menudah L'Shamayim, maybe in the case of the trout, the Menudah L'Shamayim, where Hashem is the one who's imposing the excommunication, it's more chamor, in that case, it's prohibited to inquire into the health. But what remains unresolved is whether a Menudah can inquire into somebody's welfare or someone in and vice versa. The Gemara says, "Now Mitzer, how about a Mitzer? How about Shul Hashem? Can you inquire into his well?" The Gemara says, "Tashma, I'm here from a right that says about a Mitzer that it says in the pasuk, 'Al Tafam Yatzev,' that he should cover over his head with a shawl until it lifts." And we say that it wasn't he should cover over to his lips. She used the place of the buckets of the lips, that his lips should be attached one to the other. She had kimenudo ka'avol, that should be like someone who's the next communication, or like a novel, also b'shila shalim, and he's prohibited from inquiring into someone's welfare. Shmami knows, something is a proof that we say, the explicit proof, that he's not allowed to inquire. Mitzrayim is not allowed to inquire until engage in this social life. Anyway, what we see earlier, what we say, we learned that from this very same pasuk of Safam Yata, that you should cover with a shawl. Now we're saying that from Safam Yata means that you shouldn't inquire into somebody's welfare. So that's why Tesis, as we said before, says that it could be that the Gemara, the second Gemara that we said that Safam, that he's not allowed to wear a hat or a turban, maybe could be his arguing with the early Gemara and is learning only from the words of Amiyata that he is not allowed to engage in socializing, but not that he's required to actually physically cover his head to his umtala's lips.
That is interpretation.
But right. But others say that no, none of this is arguing. This is all consistent with each other, and that we learn now two things from the Pasuk Safam Yata, that we learn now that you have to cover your head physically and pull your lips, and that you have to be quiet because the word Safam is an unusual word form that usually you would expect to find just place on. But we say Safam Yata, so this, from this extraordinary word form that we can learn two things from it. One, that you physically cover your head, and one, that you don't engage in socializing. So, then what's the custom of the Sudra, that without wearing a hat and a turban, that means a fancy hat and a fancy turban, and we're talking about covering. So you're prohibited from wearing a hat or a turban, but you are obligated to wear a shawl over your, a veil or something over your face,
or a hood,
something like that. So, Shmami, no. So we have a proof anyway from here that he's not allowed that. Another Gemara says, since it says that the person who's in the Tzeda should cover his face, who should not inquire into the welfare of his friend. Tzotzis like a menudah like an avil, Tzotzis like a menudah like an avil. Then what do we see? That a menudah shouldn't inquire into the welfare either, because we're saying that the mitzvah is like the menudah. And we said that the mitzvah is not as because he's like the menudah. So now why don't we resolve the question about the menudah? Why do we leave it unresolved? Then the Gemara says, I'm a Ravash Barfinsa from Shader Yezim, Nikhani Shef Osir, it doesn't say in the Brayasa that a Mitzvah is like a menudah who is Osir to inquire, but say she a menudah Kir Avel, and it should be like his relationship be like a menudah and like an avil, not that he that it's just a grammar point, but what the Gemara is saying is that if it would say the al safam yata, she used this seita to go back to the Tashma, see the word the al safam yata, we learn from the Brayta of al safam yata, she used by seita al safam yata. About Sofam Yata, she used that his he should that his lips should be attached one to the other. The Osir means that the Mitzvah is Osir B'Shila Shalom. If it wanted to say that actually in fact the Menuda is Osir with to inquire into some of the and then it would say shit also to show Ilashah. That all of these are also. The answer is going back now from a grammatical standpoint back to the subject of the Barais, and the subject is not the other and not the Menudah. The subject is, in fact, the Mitzvah. The also to show and so he's not like the other and the Menudah in the sense that he's not allowed to inquire into their welfare. In fact, he is like the other in that sense, but it's not like the Mitzvah in that, like the Menudah in that sense. He's like the Menudah in other senses. In the sense
because of the Vav.
Because of the Vav. So what does it mean? So one of the we comparing the, so this Bryce is clearly comparing the Mitzvah to the Menudah, but it's not comparing them for the purpose of inquiring into welfare. The comparison is for the other things that the Braisa talks about, and that is that both an Avel and a Mitzvah have rules, like they don't take a haircut, they don't
get all the other things.
All the other things.
But
so
not
if it would
Sheila.
Have, so if it had said, shit, Osir, then I would say that you're correct.
Everything.
But from here is no proof that, in fact, a Menudah is Osir. We're going to have this again later.
Interesting.
So now, a fifth rule that we learn about an other. An other, so we're all starting with the pesukim about an other. So other, we know, is also the different terror. It's not on the study terror. Mid the Kamar, Rachmana, Lichatkos, and Hashem said,
the different terror.
It's not a study terror.
He just said, Limura terror.
That's what the different terror is.
It's Limura terror.
He's not a faith turn. He's not engaged in faith study. Dover is there, Nilman with the Kamar Rachmana with Cheskel, because Hashem said to Cheskel, Doim, you said before earlier, you learned that from Doim that you should inquire into someone's welfare. He said, Hey, I'll make Doim. Now we're going to say again, from the same passage, Doim not only learned that you don't ask. You don't inquire into somebody's welfare, but during you rank
we can use it twice.
That's
the question. How can you reason it twice?
So the Ritva asked the question, and he I'm not exactly sure
why.
And it could be that again, remember, we basically suggest that all these Gemaras may be arguing one with the other. The Gemara over here that said that we learn out from Doim that the Yom Kippur would disagree that you're not on the study terror.
But
this Gemara might be arguing with the previous Gemara. But the others say that they're all consistent and that there's no arguments to complement each other. And that and the Ritva explains why you can actually learn out two brushes, but I'm not even certain why. Other also, for doing Torah. Also, it's also forbidden to study Torah in Kamar Mana, since the Torah says the Cheskel doing. So Menuzah Ma'al is different here. So now I'm talking about the communicator. Can he study Kamar Yisus or Yisus says Hashma coming here from a bright from Menuzah Shoyna Shoyin Loi. He can study and someone can he can teach and he's taught. Someone can teach him. He can
and
teach
he her.
He can be hired to do other people's work, and the Scar and Loi, he can hire others to do work for him. But anyway, what do we see? That he's not Asr from Allah. We ask the question, we have a explicit right saying that he could engage Mukhram, but now a higher level of excommunication. When a person was
Nishkarin means what exactly?
I'm sorry, what?
Nishkarin.
Nishkarin means that he could be
paid.
He can have others work for him. Right. He could work for others. He can hire himself out to others, right. And he can hire others to work for him. Right. So anyway, what we see is that he can be employed.
Right.
Now that's the level of nidui. Nidui is, let's say, for example, it's a lenient form of excommunication. So if somebody doesn't listen to that and doesn't send a shliach three times and he doesn't come to the best and he doesn't give the hasmona, the invitation to the best and doesn't present himself to the best and so different is the nidui. And that lasts a 30-day period. And then after that 30-day period, they put him again in nidui for a second time. And then after that, that's nidui, the second time. And the third time, then they put him in chair. So mukhram, that's already chayrim, that's already in a more severe form. So then loyishan, so unlike by nidui, he's not allowed to teach. Loyishan and loyin knows allowed to teach him. Loyin nisgar, he's not allowed to hire himself out. And others can't be hired. They cannot hire themselves out to him. But he can sit and study by himself. Shaliyah because limbal days or shall he after this limbal decision interrupts or loses pair of different gears of the skimmer. He can make himself a small shaft to sustain himself to have a livelihood. For Amar Rav, and Rav says that Buni Mayhva Paske died of it, that it means like he can engage in commercial activity in some small capacity such as selling water in a valley where water is readily available. Anyway, you can bring it through from here that someone who's a menuzah could engage in commercial activity.
Can we buy from him if he's in nidui?
Yes, so long as he didn't come into his forum. Obviously, if he's allowed to engage in the process, you're allowed to buy from him. Otherwise, also the same thing. You can engage in life or activity such as selling water in a valley. Can he study Torah? So we said,
Why should we think that he cannot?
Because he's like an Aveda, someone who's a materialist, like he's, who we say that there. He's
Instead,
has a similar rule. For certain purposes, he has the same rule. So why? So now we're just asking the question. The third mouth of the retail. So, Tashma coming here. It says in the Pasuk in Barim, it says, Raki Shaman Chapan Vishka Chasadvar Mashara in Mecha. Be careful lest you forget the words that you saw with your own eyes. So all these miracles, must be forget, so be careful not to forget these things. For example, and ensure that you transmit it to your children and your grandchildren. And immediately after that, it says, like today, when you stood in front of Hashem on Har Sinai, when Hashem stood in front of you on Har Sinai. So what do we learn from these two psukim? From so that Malahal, just like in the case of Har Sinai, when we received the Torah, how did we receive the Torah? What manner did we receive the Torah when Hashem came and revealed himself on Har Sinai? This is Parchud Nishmasim there, souls departed from them. So So just like by Hashina it was, in what manner was the aim of the Yidda but effort to do it was with fear and with awe and with trembling and with fright. Kamosha Nema, Chol Amorim, the Achilles was amazing, the Pesach, and Abidim was still a shepherd. The whole nation saw the sounds and the pillars of fire and the sound of the shofar and the mountain was smoking the Yara'am, and the nation was afraid of the Anu and they looked back, the Yamda Merachik, and they stood from afar. So we see that they were trembling and they stood in fear. So to hear any time, like what we're saying, when we're transmitting it, when we're saying it now, we're transmitting it to your children, to your grandchildren, it should be the same way, because from these two psukim that are one next to the other about things that when you're transmitting the Torah, a prophet telling us to transmit the Torah to our children and grandchildren, a prophet immediately us talking about Matan Torah and how it was by Matan Torah. So just like there, it was the aim of the year of Rosh Hashanah. So here too also should be the aim of the year of Rehoboth.
I mean, these two things are...
So that when you're studying Torah, it should be with fear, with awe, with trembling, with fright.
But the psukim are just supposed
right.
to be another...
Right, so, yes. Yeah. So
which parsha is that?
So that's in the beginning of Shema. That's in the verb.
Huh?
In the verb. Mekan Amru, so we learn from here that I saw the Azov, the Hamatsaida, Ovoya Lenida, is the final Nikos Pater of Nidu. Then the Mishnah is the Medjin, Talmud, Malachi, for that Talmud. But the Balikarian, also, but Balkari is also. So in other words, like this, we learn from this, the juxtaposition of these two Pshukim, that you have to study Pater of Nidu, or Barath, so to say. You have to be in a mood of fear. Now, someone who is a Zov, it's a disease. He didn't engage in frivolity. He didn't engage in lightheadedness. Matsuda, it's a disease. He didn't engage in anything. What do we need? But he didn't engage now in anything yesterday, today. He didn't engage in anything. It's now just a Matsuda. So what? Months ago, he engaged in Mashiach. I'm going to say, no, avoidably, someone who was avoidably, he didn't engage in wrong policy. We're talking about where it was accidental. He didn't, his wife suddenly became a nida, and while they were in the middle of having relations. So what was he to do? So he becomes tame, but he didn't engage, he wasn't engaging in so he becomes tame for a 7-day period, not just for one day. He's become now tame for a long period. So after the first day, the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, he may be in a serious mood. So the Torah is the Torah and the Exodus. So there are a lot of studies here in the Exodus. The Mishnah is the Medrash, Talmud, they can study the Medrash, the Mara, the Alachim, they can study Shulchan Aruch, Haggadah. They can engage in all sorts of Torah learning activities. But about Keri, someone who had an omission, so such people are certain they're not going to study Torah that until they go to the mikveh because they engaged in lightheadedness and Torah demands serious.
Why? Maybe the wife was contaminated in some way.
No, she wasn't contaminated in any way. We're talking about in a case where
just not Keri.
But we're talking about here a case where somebody had relations with his wife the night before. So he's not, when he wakes up in the morning, he's not in a serious mood. He's not being serious.
Okay.
So he's not in the state of frame of mind that he's saying first. In order to transform him into a state of mind of Kedusha and Ta'adah and seriousness, he goes to the mikvah.
But then,
the morning, when he goes, before he studies Torah, he can go at night, but in the morning, at some point before he studies Torah. So that was the Zera of Ezra. Whether or not it applies today is a matter of dispute among whether a Valkyrie is usher to Zera. We said everyone else is permitted to study Zera. The question was about Valkyrie. So we said that So Valkyrie is also to study Zera. Avel also is different. Avel is prohibited from washing his clothes. Doing laundry. The Ksav is present in the Pasek. They use the area of Tekoya, the Yishan Yishan Kachama. So here's the story in Tanakh about what happened was there was a fellow Amnon, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago in Megillah. Amnon raped his sister Tamar. Tamar, that was his half-sister. Tamar's full brother was Absalom. Absalom found out about it and went to kill them. David, that's not the punishment for rape, and was upset with Absalom. And so now he drove Absalom away.
It's not the punishment for rape.
Dina was raped, and
that was a case of extrajudicial punishment that Yaakov in fact was upset with Shimon's rape. And that was not a terrible, that was something that they engaged in with
what's the punishment?
And there it was a different thing. There the punishment wasn't so much for the rape, it was the kidnapping by Benoyah is a capital crime. And in fact even by years it could be a capital crime if you kidnap someone and you force them to do labor or to do something, so that's a capital
for rape
is so there's a payment of penalty. So the Yishlach Yoyev to Koya. So anyway, so Yoyev wanted to make peace between, Yoyev was the general, wanted to make peace between Absalom and David. So the Yishlach Yoyev to Koya. So he sent to Koya to the town of Gedi, Mishan Yishlach. And he brought back a wise woman. What he did was he hired this very wise woman, a bright woman, and said, listen, I want you to play act for me. I'm going to hire you, and here's what you're going to do. You know, let your act as if you're in mourning. You're going to go to David. David said, was said on the head, was the head of the dead. You're going to come and you're going to pay a fine. But in my town, here's what happened. My son was murdered. I have two sons. One was murdered. And the townsfolk is saying, especially my relatives, my husband's relatives, they're all saying that one son killed the other son. And so now they want to put my other son to death. And like this, I'll have no children. I'll be bereft of any inheritors. And so then the larger family will come and inherit. So they're propagating this rumor that my one son killed the other son so that he can kill me. But there's no aiding and there's no hachadah. So there's a gay warning kid. So I want you to give protection to my son. So David said, okay, I will send protection. And then she then says, this is all a ploy, and says, and you know, this, you want to give protection, one son to the other son, where one son killed the other son without aiding the extra, and he said, that's not proper to go and kill the second son. So now, here in the case of Absalom and Amnon, Absalom didn't kill Amnon in front of witnesses, so you didn't have a court proceeding. So how are you now taking it out on Absalom? So just like with me, you were willing to, when it wasn't your problem, then you saw the justice as it should be. So now here also, you should engage in Absalom in punishment, but not an extrajudicial punishment. So Yishlach Yoyev to Koya, Yoyev sent the Koya of Eid from Shem
Yishlach. That's after Absalom was already here, after he started.
So this is the beginning of the process. The Yemer is allowing Tavri Mav, Livshi No, Dikdei, Evel, Lalfa. He says, okay, put on clothes of someone who's not there. So make yourself appear in the morning by putting on clothes of Evel, Lalfa, Tzuchi Shemin, and don't anoint yourself with oil. But you should say like this for a period of time, if I dealt with on this, like you are in mourning over a dead relative. And so anyway, what we see from this is that, you know, we are the clothes. He told her to put on the clothes of an ovalent. The clothes of an ovalent was torn and dirty. So we see anyway from here a pasuk that tells us about Avil that we are torn and dirty clothes. The nuda and the tzara and the tzara my hand is different. So now when the nuda are so in touch with communication and the tzara, what about them? Can they launder their clothes? The tashma coming here from a variety that says explicitly that the nuda and the tzara 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 and the nuda and the tzara and the communication and the tzara is prohibited from washing kids, washing doing laundry. I mean, no, we have a proof from that. other kind of a kriya. Now the seventh rule that we learn about an other. An other has to tear his clothes. If the other lura rachmana, how do we know that an other has to tear his clothes?
Yeah, right.
Tear kriya. The other lura rachmana, because the Torah says, Hashem says to the children of Aaron, so you shouldn't tear your clothes. So from here we learn that the inference is, by implication, that everyone else should tear his clothes. So now we have, so we know that a whole lot of tear his clothes. Now I'm going to ask the same question again. What about Menuda? Does he have to tear his clothes? We don't know, and again, as I said before, the question seems to say that he leads into these states.
And everything goes to another, goes to another.
No, we said the tekus, the questions, the things that we that result from tekus, we said when the sun is off, we say that we go lenient.
Right, but why should it be unresolved?
Because we don't have a topic saying that he has to tear his clothes.
But we said that everything goes to the other.
No, we've been going through the last half hour. We've been going through all these cases, asking the question, and saying, do we have a right to saying one way or another? If it's unresolved, it's unresolved. How the Bereishis came to those conclusions, the Bereishis didn't tell us how they came to the conclusion in each instance.
But we had a concept before that said, Avel and the New Day in the same category, didn't we?
No.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Pasuk?
Yeah. Previously, we had a pasuk who was talking about a menavo and a menude.
We had a brayta that said a menude, and we said that it didn't mean because it said zir is with the vav instead of shir, so that we didn't learn anything from it. We didn't actually make the comparison. Ultimately, the Gemara rejected that and said, we're not making the comparison. We were comparing the other and the other for other purposes,
right?
All purposes. Right. So now the question is, do we make it for tearing clothes? So we say, no. So now the same thing. Now the question we're going to ask about the material has to tear.
And why do we say we don't know? If the Gemara is looking for a pasuk and we don't find one, then we should say no. What do we say to you?
Because for some things they are compared. The Gemara says we don't have an explicit rule one way or the other. So for some things they're compared, for some things they're not compared. We find the brisa that compared them. We just didn't find the brisa one way or the other. That doesn't mean that there wasn't some brisa that we don't know of that or some rule. We just don't have enough information.
So then we, based on that, we should say that we don't have a brisa. So it's no.
We don't have a brisa, so we don't have so we. We say it like this, that a lot of these things we found that in some instances we said it's they're comparable. In some cases we said no, they're not comparable. So there doesn't seem to be a hard and fast rule one way or the other. So, but we see that a general trend is that for some things they are compared. Now we just don't have to, we didn't find a horizon that addresses this, so we can't particularly resolve it. And in fact, because of what you're suggesting, is in fact possibly what's underlying what the Pesachim are saying, that in these tekus, the result should be that we should rule the neutral. We didn't find the variety that says that you actually have to go for exactly that reason. It seems like that's why they're in fact saying that you do rule the Shmanina, so we have a proof. So now, Tashma. What about on the territory creation test with God up and you affirm the hour topic that it says that his clothes should be torn, should be material, that should be torn, so we have a topic, should we not, so we have try to see something. Now we learn that eighth rule is that a Avo has to sit on the floor and turn over his bed, turn over the bench. The Tani Bar Kapara, Bar Kapara said, the Mus, how do we know that he has to?
Turn his bed on the floor, or what is it?
He needs to turn upside down for the end up sitting on the. It's like a turnover. We're talking about not the mitzvah that you sleep on. We're talking about the couch that they would sit on. We sit on chairs, they sat on couches. Turn over your chair like Tisha B'Av, or turn over the benches. So the most, they come, the organization comes and brings the low chair. But all day, they turn over the chair. So So how do we know that, for what reason do we say that an avel should turn over his chair? So we say, because we have, it says, the most yukne nosati behem. Hashem says that I put my image in them, and a person is created in the image of Hashem. And because of their sins, I turned over this image. I destroyed this image, this person who is now dead, who is no longer in the image of God. So kifu matnisayim alahat. As Hashem said, turn over your beds over it. So we see a pasuk that. From the pasuk of Kibbutzelim and Kim Asasa Adam, that Hashem created a person in the image of Hashem, that it's deserving that when a person dies, they should turn over the bed. And the nudah Mitzrayim, my hand, Bikhiyat Amita, someone who's next to an invasion or a material, what about them? Do they have to turn over the bed? Do they have to turn over sit on the floor? Somewhere else to stay, we don't know. All the laws of Asiyat Malach. It's now a nice rule about Avel. To say that Avel is prohibited from engaging in Malach. As it says, Vapastika Gechem La'Avel. In the Apostle in Amos, it says that I turned their Chag into an Avel, into a period of mourning. Sama, Chag, Asa Ben Malach. So now we're talking about Gechem La'Avel. Just like a Yom Tov with Asa Ben Malach, so you were refraining from Malach because of the holiday. But now you're going to refrain from Malach because of Avelut. So we see that Avel is also Meosiyat Malach. So now the question is, Menudah Ma'aseh Avel Malach. If someone is in next communication, can he do Malach? Amar Yisuf, where Yisuf says, so before we were talking about engaging in pragmatic business, now we're talking about.
Yeah, one second. Which is a fachkich chagechem leivel should say just the other way around.
I'm going to turn your festivals
right
into a mourning.
So what's a festival? You don't know.
You don't work. So leivel, right. We also know it works. That's what we learned. So we're going to say just like till now you weren't working because you were joyous. Now you're not going to be working. You're not working because of joy. Now you're not going to be not working. I'm going to not be working because of Avel. I'm going to be Yisus, or Yisus says, Pashma. I'm going to hear about whether a Menudah is also Batiyas Malach. Sha'amru, also Batiyas Malach. When they said that in the Bayatinus, that it's also Batiyas Malach. It said that you're not allowed to do in the third series of the Tainus, so you're not allowed to do work during the day. Well, I don't know what they could do labor. Okay, not the Mesa. And we also find such a thing, and Avel. So, my love. So again, this Mishnah was saying, this Braita had a whole list of things that were prohibited to do on a Tainus. So again, so my love, I call this, if we're making the comparison over here of a Menudah and a Tainus, to Menudah and to Avel, So then, are we saying that in all things that we said that during the Tainus was usher, then Menudah and Avel is usher? So it says, no, Loi Ashar is talking about the other things. It's not an exhaustive list. So it wasn't this Baraita wasn't making this comparison for purposes of engaging in labor. It was just making the comparison for other things. Okay, so just generally, like an Avel and a Menudah, we're just trying to show that we're in mourning, that we're like in excommunication. We're not saying that the halachas are exactly the same. Toshma, so come in here. Now we're gonna try to resolve it from another right about labor. Menudah. We said earlier that a menudah, someone who's excommunicated, it's a shenin loy.
Shenin loy.
You can study, you can teach him. So nisker hu, and it was a discarded loy, that he can hire himself out for labor, and they can hire him for labor. So shami now, so here we see that he can engage him a lot. Now, Matur, is he allowed to engage in labor? Somewhere? And just take it, we leave it for himself. Avel Aser Bereshita. Avel is Aser to, he's prohibited to submit to the 10th rule. That's what we're learning about Avel. And for others, it's prohibited to
or feast 7
so,
days.
So we're talking about all 7 days, but we're going to bring a proof from the Noine. But the same,
Today, it's the same thing. 7 days.
I'm sorry?
But during the Shiva, he cannot
do nothing. Although also Berchitza, although it's prohibited from bathing. Maybe Ksiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Valkasuchi Shemen, when Yoyev retained this woman to play act in front of David, so he told her, don't anoint yourself with oil, and so you'll appear like you're in mourning for many days. So, and generally, we consider when we talk about sicha, when we say something is asr b'sicha, it means it's asr b'rechitza, because rechitza in the rechitza is essentially just a lead up to the sicha. You bathe, you clean yourself, and then you anoint yourself so that you smell good. It's all the process of arriving at the point where you have a good scent. So if we say that you know how to anoint yourself, it means you know how to engage in the entire process, which is the preliminary part of that process is bathing. So now we know that other little asher berechitza. So about menuda ma'al berechitza. What about a menuda? A menuda, someone's excommunicated this out of the field out the page. So when Jesus is a fifth parashma coming here from a bright, Shama Chachamim, the Chachamim said that asher berechitza, that it's prohibited to bathe, lo yomru ela kol gufo. They only said it about his entire body. So during a Tainus Tibur, during the last series of a Tainus Tibur, you're not allowed to bathe your entire body, but you are allowed to wash your hands and feet and your face. Penach HaMoise, and the same thing that we find, the Menudah Ba'avel, that a Menudah Ba'avel, they're not allowed to bathe, but they are allowed to wash their hands, feet, and the hands and feet and the face. That's how we want to learn this right. Again, as we said a few times before, my love, Akula, that the comparison of the menudah and the avil was for all things cited in the Baraita, and you say, no, it was for other things that were cited in the Baraita. It means to say that you should sit there like a avil and menudah, that the halachas are the same, but just the point of that during a tightness you sit like an avil and a menudah. The halachas are different from an avil and menudah, but just the point of all of this is so that you show that you feel like a menudah and an avil. So the Gemara says, Mitzrayim HaRechitah. How about, so we left that one resolved, and now Mitzrayim HaRechitah. So now about a Mitzrayim? Can a Mitzrayim state, or answer state, or leave it in unresolved state? Avol Asher Menudah Shasamlel. Now we learned a 11th rule about it. Although the novel is not allowed to put on shoes, leather shoes, and Gamar LeRachmanah, since Hashem told Yichetko, or Nalecha Tassim B'Rechlech Yishol. Put on, don your shoes. So, saying put on your shoes, so we see that novel is usher, since Hashem has told him specifically when he was an Avelis to worship. Then Nikol, Al-Dikul Al-Mas, and everybody else is prohibited. The Menudah, Al-Din, the Tatamul, how about the Menudah, the Yelah, to wear sandals, I'm a Yisus, the Yisus says, Tashma, I'm here, Kishama Chachamim, when the Chachamim said, Al-Din, the Tatamul, that during the tainus, the last series of the tainus, and no one wears sandals. So, by Amru Ella, the ear. They said only when you're in the city. Avo, the derech, when he's on the road, he's allowed to put on his shoes because we don't. The point of it is to show that you're an avelis. The point is not to hurt your feet, to cause the injury. And you're going on the road, you're going to get bitten, or you're going to get cut. So, you can put on the shoes. Okay, but that's what the derech, when he goes out on the road, out of the town, he can put on his shoes. When he arrives inside the town, so he takes the pshinat and beitzit, then he finds the middle of the middle of the worst is my so maybe it refers to all these things. Again, the loy, ashara, we're just talking about the concept, not necessarily about the halacha. But what about a material? Feel out of where we're assembled. But thank you. So again, these two things we leave unresolved. Otherwise, it's Asher Shanim. And now we learn the 12th rule that Avel is prohibited from engaging in marital relations. See, it says in the Pasuk, "V'yenchid David v'ish v'ashav yishtav yodilah," that David came to comfort his wife, Basheva, and he had relations with
Who was it, Hashem?
No, no, David had his wife, Hashem. What happened was that...
Which son is he had?
So when David sent Uriah off to battle and Uriah was killed, David took Hashem as a wife and she came back. Came off from the Navi and said, listen, you engaged in impropriety. She had done that whole thing. And so that child, and now after he had relationship came back, so that child is not going to survive. And the child died, and David was in a period of mourning with family for 7 days. But then he didn't want to be happy, he didn't want to hear, no one wanted to. No, they were so afraid of David's life that no one even wanted to tell him that the child died. So anyway, afterwards.
So she delivered, he died?
The child was born, and then the child died. And then afterwards came to the point where he came to comfort her, and they had the relationship. The Mikal, so from here we see the Mikal that earlier they didn't. So we see that all of us are Kashmir Shalom. Menuda, Mahabu Kashmir Shalom. How about some of the next communication? We have the relationship. Some are Yezer, Yezer says Kashmir coming here. And the answer to your question, we say that over the years that the Yidden were in the Midbar after the Meraglim, after the Meraglim, from the Nudin Hallel, they were in Midway to Hashem. Hashem didn't appear to Mishra Abedin those that entire time. Everyone was in Midway, even Mishra Abedin. Hashem didn't appear to Mishra Abedin. There was no revelation during that period. Hashem was upset with Eden because there's a period that this whole generation is going to die out. And the next generation, the miraculous. Typically what the miraculous was so the Shimshon is the same, that they had children. We see from the numbers that they had children. So right. If they had children, then they had relations.
Right.
You see that during Eden, you can have relations. Maybe when someone's Merudal Shamayim, he can engage in relations with someone's Merudal Lutetan, it's all engaged. Perhaps, 1 second. The Kiel, are you now going to say that Merudal Shamayim is less stringent, is more lenient than in the case of Merudal of Neyadam? Earlier you said that you can't bring the proof of Merudal Shamayim because Merudal Shamayim is more chamor. And now you're saying that you can't compare because it's more lenient? So the Gemara says, yeah, maybe it is more lenient. Well, I'm going to come here, but you said it was more chamor. He said that he had a prophet, and he didn't know one way or the other if it's more lenient or more stringent. So it could be, on the one hand, we might think that it should be more stringent because Hashem himself is imposing the nidui. On the other hand, one might think that it's less stringent because Hashem didn't actually utter that they're in excommunication. It's just an implicit excommunication, whereas the Pesach explicitly imposes it. So we can postulate. So the Gemara says, we don't know. It might be that it's more stringent. It might be it's less stringent and, in fact, more lenient. So you can never bring a proof from Nidui L'Shamayim to Nidui B'nei Yadim, because maybe it's more stringent, maybe it's more lenient. We just simply don't know. So looking at when you try to bring a proof that from Shamayim, they will say that it's more stringent, that Shamayim is more stringent. Trying to bring a proof from Shamayim to Kula, maybe it's more Mekil. If you come trying to bring the proof this way, we'll push you away. If you come from this approach, we're going to push you away. No matter what you're going to do, we're going to say you can't bring a proof from Shamayim to Bnei Adam. So the Torah amount of Kashmir Shemitah. So now we're left unresolved about a Menudas. Now Torah, can he engage in marital relations? Where it says, Kashmir coming here, an answer, the time it depends on the price. It says by the material that during the day is that he is counting to become pure. He's engaging in the purification process to count 7 days. And the Yoshua Mechut La'ol Yishuvas Yom, he has to sit outside his tent for 7 days. So what does it mean? We flew into Sumar earlier. What does it mean outside of his tent? Tent means it's a euphemism for his wife. Yoshua Mechut La'ol Yishuvas Yom, and Apostle Malam, she came in the problem, that he should be like Alman Nuda, Asa Pastor Shemitah, he is prohibited from engaging in marital relations. The ein ahole elo le ishtei. And when we say ahole, it means his wife. So he has to separate from his wife for those 7 days. Shemamar says in the pasuk, lech emer lehem shuvu lachem laha aleichem. Go return, as we said earlier in the Gemara, that we found that after Matan Torah, Hashem said to Moshe, go tell the yidden that they can return to their tent. They had been the entire time in their tent, but they had been separated from was their wife. So we see from here that when it says return to your tent, means return to your normal life.
A wife compared to a tent.
No, it's just that it means go back.
Figuratively.
It means go back and engage in normal home activity.
Right.
So Shema Mina, so we see from here that Abel is author in Tashma Shem. What does the mission? Nami, Salet. Resolve from here that the Menuda, also
is Asr.
Is Asr with Hashem Shreita. So Amar Rufuna Bereid Nar Pinchas, or Rufuna the son of Rufuna said, me, Tami She Asr, like we said earlier, it says this Asr. She Hei Kenuda Ka Avel, the Milachrina, and she be like a novel and a Menuda, and other things. So Asr Nami with Hashem Shreita. And he's also Asr in Tashma Shemit, but not that the Nuga and the Avel is Asr in Tashma Shemit. Avel, now when we learn.
Yes, it says Kemenude. Okay, Avel.
We said Kemenude, it didn't say Sheh Asr, it said Zer Asr, so we're now going back to the original subject of the Baraita, who was the Nesira and not the Avel and not the Nuga. Avel, but Avel already had already resolved, because
right.
We already knew that Avel was also Tashma
Shemit.
The question is, the Nuga we don't have an answer for. Avel and Mishalayah Karbanoidah. Now it's a new topic. That Avel, who wants to bring a carbon, the king goes to the Beis HaMikdash, she has to stay home with the chimp, but wants to send the carbon through a shliach.
He can.
So he cannot. He wants to.
Through a shliach?
He cannot. He's not allowed to send carbonate. All the way in the Mishalai Karbonesa. All the may not send the carbon through a shliach. The Tanya has relented in the Baraita. The Mishalai name of Rishon says, Shlomim is Man Shuhu Shalom. That why is a carbon Shlomim called Shlomim? It has many reasons, but one of the reasons is that Shalom, he has to be complete. He has to be whole. He has to be complete. He has to be someone whose senses are all about him. So, a person is an other, the senses aren't about him, he's an incomplete person. Ladies, it's not you, oinin. And so, a person who is an oinin is not allowed to send a carbon. And so, that same rationale, it would apply equally to someone during the entire Shiva period. And that's where the Gemara draws a conclusion from this paraita that Avil is not allowed to send a carbon in the entire Shiva period. The Menuda, now she is not carbon. So, how about a Menuda? A Menuda allowed to send. His carbon is Amar Yisus. The Yisus says, "Tashma, come near, call this and show you saw the midrash. Minuzin hayu. They were midrash, so show for coming to say. But we see that they brought carbonus through this entire 40-year period. Amar Leabayis, Amar Yisus, but no, 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 Shemayim Shami. So you're going to say the keel that it's less stringent. But the Gemara says, yeah, kill, maybe it is less stringent. Amr Khamr, but you said earlier that it's less. Oh, Khamr says, the Pukin is Akhile, like we said earlier. Oh, Makhile. And so you say, Lacha, and you say, Lacha. So now we're going to come to the case of the Tzaria, but we're going to leave that for tomorrow because that goes on to the next.
You done in Mari?